You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. And amidst the World Cup fever, something else has sneaked onto the horizon, hasn't it, Capers? It's Royal Ascot.
Yeah, and one of my favourite sort of weeks of racing over the year. You've got the great mix of obviously the top class group and listed action and the youngsters in action with the 2-year-olds and some decent and competitive handicaps. And yeah, it's a perfect sort of mix really throughout the whole week for me. It probably is the best flat meeting anywhere in the world in terms of, you know, how long it goes on for, and also the sort of the different variety of races that we have on offer. And very much looking forward to this week.
Quality and quantity.
Exactly, which isn't something that we usually get mixed in together. There's usually one or t'other. That is true.
We're going to talk about four races. We're going to offer a quick-fire lucky 15 for the listeners.
Yep.
We're going to start with the opener, the Queen Anne. What do you like?
I like the French horse here, Recalitos, who won the Prix d'Istaphane at Longchamp on his most recent outing. That was definitely a career best. Sent over from France. Obviously, the French, from memory, I think have got an all right record in this race. Obviously Solo won it for Freddie Head, and Gordy Cover also won it for that particular trainer. But to be fair, any time that a horse comes over from France when they've got so many options over there is always interesting. Drawn in stall one, so we'll see how the draw pans out. Won't be plain sailing. Obviously you've got Rhododendron in there, who won the Lockings when last seen, just beating Lightning Spear. You've got Ben Battle, who brings some decent form from Maidan, won the Dubai Turf when he was last seen. Quick conditions will definitely help him. And the Marto, a little bit of a forgotten horse as well, but perhaps the stiff mile here anyway, I don't think will really be to his liking. You've also got Yoshida down there, the American horse, down towards the bottom, another interesting contender as well. But I'm happy with Recalitos, and I see with us at the moment he is 5-1.
Yeah.
I think he'll be difficult to kick out of the frame, so he's a pretty sort of solid each way bet, if you like, in that opener.
Okay. I offered you the chance to swerve one of the bigger races on Tuesday, and you chose the Coventry to swerve.
Quite right.
Yeah, Calix and Sergei Prokofiev, currently 5-2 joint favourites, 10-1 and bigger the remainder. It's not a lottery.
No.
But it's very hard.
Obviously, Sergei Prokofiev comes here with sort of a fairly high reputation after what he did last time out. The form of that race isn't working out particularly well. And I know Andy Holding, when he was on a couple of weeks ago when I was having a chat with him, wasn't particularly impressed with the sort of speed figure that horse did as well. So it's a race where obviously lots of horses improve massively from run to run as well. And yeah, I mean, obviously the best horse more often than not wins it, but working out what that horse isn't as simple as it is some of the other races beforehand.
The 340 is the King's Stand, 5 furlongs the trip. It's a Group 1. Can you put me off Lady Aurelia? Because I love her.
And it's easy to see why. Obviously, she's won here twice before, including when winning this race very impressively last year.
Three lengths last year and 7 lengths before in the Queen Mary.
And, from memory, the year before, I don't think the ground particularly suited her. It might have been last year where the ground didn't particularly suit her. One of the two, anyway. But quick ground is what she likes. She's had a few defeats since she won here last year, but all roads have been sort of led to get a spot on for this. But she comes up against Batash, who I was fairly impressed with, actually, at Haydock in the Temple Stakes. An ideal sort of prep for this race. It was more this performance at the back end of last year in the Abbey, where he just blew them away. He's had a breathing operation since then. And it's going to be a fascinating watch between the pair. Just wondered why Frankie Dettori is not riding Lady Aurelia, but obviously Johnny Velasquez rode her last year, so I suppose that's not too much of a concern. Mm. It's very much a flip of the coin job. I know we've got them at 2-1 each of two, with Lady Aurelia in the lineup, along with plenty of other front runners, the likes of Catchy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be the only thing they're drawn next to each other, Catchy and Lady Aurelia.
Yeah, and
could you set it up for something?
Exactly, and if you just look where Bertarsh is drawn as well, in stall 9, he's going to be just following them, I should imagine, so I would just favour Bertarsh on the basis of that. But it wouldn't surprise me, obviously, if Lady Aurelia won here for the third time, but cracking renewal. Just favour Charlie Hills as sprinter Bertarsh.
Okay. The 4:20 is the St James's Palace Stakes, race 4 on the card, another Group 1 coming your way. The first bit of news from this, if you like, Tip to Win is still owned by Mrs Anne Cowley, and I did not think that would happen after finishing second in the Guineas.
No, I'm surprised they didn't potentially enter the horse in the that big sale that they're having on Monday night in Kensington, but when a horse does come along like this, and he owes them nothing because he's already won a hell of a lot of prize money with those two wins in Qatar earlier on in the year, and of course obviously finishing second in the 2000 Guineas. But yeah, and there's a chance for me that he's being underestimated in the market, and likewise the Irish 2000 Guineas winner Romanized. So I just wonder whether sort of a straighter trap might well play a little bit more to Romanized strengths, considering how strong he was at the line at the Curragh, albeit obviously it's a fairly stiff mile at Ascot, but on the round course. But even still, I just think if it was on the straighter track, I think I'd prefer him a little bit more. So with that in mind, Tip to Win will be the selection. I still think he's been grossly underrated. You get this a lot when sort of an unfashionable yard has a decent horse that turns out to be a Group 1 horse, that they can often be underestimated in the market.
5-1, Tip to Win.
Yeah, and again, I find it difficult to think he's not going to be in the frame. Obviously, with that, Parole comes here with the unbeaten record. He won at Yarmouth on his seasonal debut. The speed figure people were all over his performance that day. Workman Light at Sandown, but obviously the ground changed before that race. It rained a lot on Henry II and Brigadier Gerard Knight, and he did what he had to do. He wasn't as impressive. Back on quicker ground, which he's won on his first two starts, expect a better showing. But he's priced up on potential, whereas Romanized and Tip to Win have got that form in the book, and for me are both being overlooked in the market. As I say, the reason for not tipping Romanized is just that slight worry about the track. I would prefer it on the straight course for him, as I say, because he was so strong going through the line at the Curragh. With that in mind, I think Tip to Win is very difficult to kick out of the frame, so he's the pick for me.
The final race we're going to focus on is the Ascot Stakes, coming up at 5 o'clock. Almost 2.5 miles the trip here. Willie Mullins has 5 of the 20 runners at Royal Ascot, including one ridden by Mikel Barcelona. That's Mary DeVee. Mickey Barcelona for Willie Mullins. This is like fantasy racing from 4 years ago, isn't it?
It is a little bit. And obviously Andrea Etzini is also riding for him too. And I think Christophe Soumillon as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So, yes, and Ryan Moore obviously as well. And all of the horses that he runs, bar one, I think might be all of them. None of them have run on the flat for ages. They're all better known as jumpers, but in some of the cases it's 2 years since they were last seen on the flat. So it has got sort of an odd shape to it, this race, but it's obviously, you know, a race that Willie Mullins is very good at targeting. He's won, what, 3 of the last 6 renewals of the race. So,
and to be fair, when he did win it last year with Thomas Hobson, that horse hadn't run on the flat for, well, I don't think he's run on the flat actually for Willie Mullins.
No, he hadn't. No, it was John Gosden.
I don't think he had. I might be wrong in saying that, but he'd certainly been campaigned over hurdles for a while.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at the Irish, they've got a really good record in this race. I think there's only ever one Irish trained runner actually in the lineup. Henry the Bromhead's got one towards the top of the weights. But you just go through the previous winners of this race, and I think all bar one of the last 10 renewals has been won by a trainer who's obviously better known as a jumps trainer. The horse who I quite like in this race is actually the bottom weight. He's just snuck in. The Alan King trained Coeur de Leon, who Finished second last time out at Chester when the cheap pieces went on for the first time behind Look My Way. That was no disgrace because that was a decent little contest in which he did finish second in on that particular occasion. Obviously, Look My Way's in the lineup again, and he will relish this step up in trip as well. But I think Coeur de Lion will too, the way that he finished the other day in that race at Chester. Obviously, 2.5 miles, big field. You're going to need plenty of luck in running. But I think the way that this race will hopefully pan out will definitely suit Coeur de Lion getting weight all round. He is the pick in the Ascot Stakes.
So it is Recolitas in the 2:30, Batash in the 3:40, Tip to Win in the 4:20, and Coeur de Lion in the 5 o'clock at 5s, 2s, 5s and 8s respectively. So if you fancy a lucky 15, if you fancy a Yankee, whatever it is that you fancy, maybe just a few singles. If you are agreeing with Mr. Capewell, then very best of luck. Whatever it is that you fancy, listeners, very best of luck. Make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio throughout Royal Ascot. Promises to be absolutely wonderful. And we end this podcast, actually. We're going to hear from Sean Quinn. I caught up with him yesterday.
Oh, brilliant.
Looking ahead to his runners.
In the pubs, was he?
No, he wasn't. He had been the night before, though. looking ahead.
Shock.
Looking ahead to his runners, or his father's runners, at the Royal Meeting. So good luck with your bets. Enjoy, Royal Ascot listeners.
You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK.
Alex Dunn here, joined by Sean Quinn to look ahead to his Royal Ascot runners. Well, I say his father's.
Yeah.
You can take them if you'd like, Sean. You've got three of them coming up this week.
Yeah, we've got four entries at Ascot. I'd hope they'd all go down there on Tuesday. We've got Look My Way heading for the Ascot Stakes, the fifth race on the card on the opening day. The 2.5 mile handicap for horses rated 0-100. Declarations are out as we speak. He's drawn in stall 14. As you'd expect, you've got a full field. But he's a horse who comes into the race in really good order. He did well over hurdles through the winter and has improved on the flat in two starts for us on the flat this year. He finished third at Newbury, first time up, and then he went to Chester and won what was the new Chester Cup consolation race. He didn't get into the Chester Cup itself, but he won the consolation race, beating Coeur de Lion by a neck. Coeur de Lion reopposes here in the Ascot Stakes. It's very, very solid form, though, and I'd be hopeful of a good run in the race.
Okay. You've also got Signora Cabello. She's gone for the Queen Mary, and of course she was a nice winner at York of the Mary Gates fillies race. That's a listed race, isn't it? So it's obviously a step up.
Yep.
But she could be anything, couldn't she?
Yeah, she brings very strong form to the table. Arguably as strong as anything, being a black type winner already. She's a filly who's just improved with racing. She finished fourth on her debut when a little bit unlucky in running. She then went and won at Bath and took her form to another level last time out at York at the Dante Meeting, winning the Marygate in fine fashion. She was pulling away from her rivals at the line. She's training nicely at home. As you'd expect, it looks a well up to scratch Queen Mary. You know, we're not going in thinking that she's a certainty by any means, but she definitely deserves to take her chance. Phoenix Thoroughbreds bought into her last week, so she'll run in their colours in the Queen Mary, and we're hopeful of a good run.
Okay. And just looking at the website I'm looking at now, have you got Oisin Murphy down to ride that one?
Yeah, Oisin Murphy, I believe he's going to ride a lot of the Phoenix Thoroughbred horses at the meeting.
So that's the reason.
So they were quite keen to book him.
Okay. I said you've got three runners. You said four. Where are we looking next?
Well, we've got the two horses in the King George handicap on the Thursday, which I think is the last race on the Thursday. It is the 5:35 on Thursday. Got Lisheen Castle and Dubai Empire. Dubai Empire, it's questionable whether he'll get in the race. Lisheen Castle will get a run and will run. In truth, he's been a little bit disappointing in two starts this year. He finished second on his seasonal reappearance, but was a little bit lackluster. And then last time out at Doncaster, he didn't stay the trip, seemingly, of a mile and six, but was a bit below par. So he's definitely on a recovery mission, but we're happy with him at home. And whilst we've got to speak to the team at Qatar Racing, I wouldn't be surprised if we put some headgear on him this week. Just feeling that he probably hasn't been concentrating through his races, and he hasn't reproduced last year's 2-year-old form. But at home, his work is as good as ever. And you look at his 2-year-old form. He was fourth in a Derby trial behind DXB, beating a couple of lengths. And he was second in a listed race behind Connect. You know, it's very, very decent form. Yeah. If he came back to that form, He'd be a runner at a big price in that handicap.
Okay. And Dubai Empire's also go...
Well, he's in the Queen's Vase, you see, so yeah. It's possible he might be switched to the Queen's Vase. He's got a lot to find at the weights, but his owner, Ahmed Al-Sheikh, is keen to have runners at Royal Ascot this week, so it'd be nice for him if we got into one of the races.
Okay. And likewise, Senor Cabello's in the Albany as well, but like to go for the...
It was to give us the option... I would say she's 99% certain to go for the Queen Mary. She's won a fast five at York, staying on strongly. The stiff five at Ascot will suit her down to the ground.
And of course, no stranger the team to winners at big meetings, such as Royal Ascot, such as the Cheltenham Festival. What's the best chance for you this week, do you reckon?
Best chance. If the rains came, look my way, is in very, very good order, but it doesn't appear likely. He goes on quick ground, but he probably is better on a softer surface. But he's in very, very good order at home. But Signora Cabello, the ground holds no fears for her. She's an improving filly, and we can't wait to have a crack at that with her.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.